Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day and happy Oregon birthday. This is the Senate Committee on Healthcare. It's Wednesday, February 14th, and actually, for some of you, it's also Ash Wednesday. So, lots of things happening today. Just to let you know what we're going to do, I would like Senator DeBoer to be here, and he is testifying on a bill right now. So we can't go as quickly as I thought we could, but we can at least take testimony at this point in time. And so I'm going to start on the Senate Bill 1549. As you know, we have the dash ones and the dash fours that are all okay, and we have a new amendment to it, the dash sixes, and they are were posted. We cannot really address that until 1:45, so that's why this is going to be a rolling. We have to delay things. So with that, let's see. Opening public hearing. Work session on Senate Bill 1549, and Cassie, just make sure I said everything right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, because the dash sixes is balance billing, some people call it surprise billing, it's an amendment, and I'd like Rick Blackwell. Oh, there you are. Okay, let's just get the testimony down. Oh, and Andrew Stofi, right?
Yes.
I'm going to get it.
Thank you, Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Andrew Stolfi, the newly appointed administrator of the Division of Financial Regulation. It's, again, my privilege to be with you here today. Just want to state a couple points, and then Rick will kind of walk through the different amendments and the language and kind of explain where we are. I just want to reiterate that the department has no position on this, but we are glad to have a continued role of convening the parties together and trying to reach consensus. There is not full consensus, but there is a majority of the parties have agreed on a framework for a way forward, which is represented in the bills, which we'll be glad to go over today. And just a few quick points. First, it's important to remember that the amendments we're talking about today will have no effect on consumers, that the consumer protections put in place last year in House Bill 2339 will still be in effect, and as of March 1st, consumers will not be subject to a surprise billing when receiving care from an out-of-network provider, an in-network healthcare system. These amendments only deal with the reimbursements providers will be providing to carriers. Second, whatever does pass this session, there will be the need for some rulemaking from some work going forward to define some particulars. And the department's committed to continue a collaborative process with all the relevant parties in reaching consensus on all these issues. We're also looking to issue some public guidance leading up to March 1st to help ensure that consumers, carriers, and providers are familiar with the consumer protections in place. And finally, it's our expectation that whatever might be adopted in law this session will provide a framework and a guidance for providers and carriers after March 1st and before any final rulemaking is in place. So with that, I'll turn it over to Rick to kind of walk through the different amendments.
Thank you, Chair Mona Sanderson and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Rick Blackwell. I'm the policy manager at the Division of Financial Regulation. I'll just go ahead and walk through both the fives and the sixes just to be, because they're essentially the same. There are some important differences that I'll try to note throughout the testimony. I will also say I've had the dash sixes for about 10 minutes, so be happy to also follow up any questions that you might have. So the bill adds to the framework established under House Bill 2339. We add a definition of allowed amounts into this part of the insurance code, which would then actually set the stage for the calculations that we need to do by rule further down the bill. On page 2 of the draft, we have a general duty to figure out through rule, but with some strong legislative parameters in subsection 6, how out-of-network providers are being compensated for services where a person was not didn't have the opportunity to choose their provider, but yet got care in an in-network facility by that out-of-network provider. The balanced billing framework that was established in 17 put a ban on the surprise bills with the exemption of co-insurance, co-payments, and other sorts of applicable cost sharing. So consumers are from 2339 forward would still be paying for those anyway. Looks like it's our understanding, at least of the Dash 6s, is that those are still not subject to the ban on the balanced bill from the provider, but yet may still be part of the in-network rates that would have been filed with us. And so we'll work through that with the advisory committee that we're bound to have to establish to get through the rulemaking to make sure that any sort of applicable cost sharing that goes into filing those rates is still preserved moving forward for reimbursement. So I'll just put that on there for now.
No, let me just make sure I understand.
Yeah.
So if there is cost sharing, you're saying the consumer still would be, say, for any fees or what, any expenses coming from the provider, they still would be responsible for that.
Right. So under both 2339 and this amendment, that hasn't changed. So
okay.
The bill,
all right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's still there. Okay. So the rules that we need to adopt by January 1st of 2019 basically will say that the reimbursement would be 100% of allowed. There isn't actually a percentage built into the amendment, but 100% of allowed is essentially allowed. Since there's no modifier on what allowed is, we're considering that to be 100% of the allowed amounts. This is on median allowed amounts that are billed to in-network providers with commercial data, so no Medicare or Medicaid. It's based on, in the statute, the 2015 full data set that's available through the all-payer, all-claims database. And it will be adjusted to the Consumer Price Index urban. So this is urban all prices. And so that we have some very, while the rulemaking is, we do have some discretion in that rulemaking to set, to explore with the advisory committee where there's some differences in rating or geographic areas that that could be put into the reimbursement rate, but that's not necessarily it's a permissive authority. If it doesn't work out, we can move on without it. Did you want to ask a question?
I just want to make sure, Madam Chair, may I?
Please.
I want to make sure, Rick, that I understand that. So it's 100% of the median in-network commercial providers, excluding Medicare and Medicaid.
That's correct. And so that data will be derived from the 2015 APAC data set.
Okay.
So, let's see. I think that's as far as our. Oh, and also, so there was actually some discussion during the work group process as to what to do with certain CPT codes. I'm sorry, I don't know what CPT means. I probably shouldn't say that on the record, but whatever it means, it has to do with treatment. I think it's different codes for this saying what a treatment is in a particular circumstance. Anyway. We may have to deal with certain situations where a CPT code may not necessarily be available through the data set, and so that will also be part of the rulemaking process that will hold with all the affected stakeholders. Section 3 of both amendments require us to report back to the committees by July 1st, 2020 on some aspects of what may or may not have changed based on this bill. So we'll be looking at the kinds of consumer complaints that we received before the ban went into effect or goes into effect in March of 2018 and any complaints going forward from that point. We'll be looking at the just the adequacy of provider networks only to the extent that that can be traced back to the reimbursement rate. So we'll just want to see if there's if the reimbursement rate has set a has caused an impact on the adequacy of the provider networks, and to the extent that we can actually tease that out through the data available. Also want to be, and we've been clear about this since the balance billing project got revived, is that we want to look at the effects on premium rates before and after the ban as well. Well, at this point, we don't really have data to suggest that we'll see increases in premiums as a result of this. We still want to study this and bring it back to the committees. And then we want to just look at recommendations for methods to ensure compliance with the law. So we'll all that will be formed as the report. We will be delivering those reports to the committees, looks like by 2020, so sometime during one of the September or one of the legislative days in 2020, I presume. The Section 4 of the bill actually sunsets all this work as of the, was it July 2021? No, I'm sorry. January 2nd, 2022. So we'll have some time to be able to both get this into place, get some data to see how it's working, and then by the point that we have a sense of how this is working, we'll be able to come back to the legislature, see if that we have to remove the sunset or make some further tweaks to account for what's happened since.
Senator Byer?
So I think with that, I'll Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the risk of being redundant, what we're talking about is not the billed amount, but the amount that's actually paid or allowed.
Allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. Further questions? And what I have told, I've talked with Representative Greenlee, because this bill is going to be going over there, and I know that most of you have only seen this particular memo. I mean, we've been talking about this for several weeks. Yes. So he is aware that there may be a couple of more tweaks, because I know that a couple of providers said they would like a couple of tweaks, but I really am not comfortable making those tweaks now because we've run out of time. And do you want to comment on that?
Oh, one thing I would like to make sure that's on the record, if I may. During the time that we need to figure out what the rules look like and the time that the ban goes into place March 1st, I mean, we expect that the 100% would be the baseline for folks to negotiate on. So that kind of gives everyone a bright line of where to land while they talk amongst themselves about what reimbursement looks like until we finish our work.
So. Because as I noticed in the dash, in the dash six as well as the dash five, but dash six, it, there is no specific figure of 100, but the intent is that it will be at 100%.
Chair Montes-Anderson, sorry for, I read the allowed is 100% of allowed. So it. If there were multipliers beyond that, so I'm just hypothetically, please don't, anyone behind me, throw stuff at me, but if it was a, if there was 105% of allowed, I would say there was probably would have been drafted allowed plus 5%. So I'm reading allowed as being 100% in the bill.
So that, I want to make sure that everybody out there understood that.
Okay.
Okay. And again, consumers are not affected. All right. So, do you have the scripts?
I'm good.
Okay, so we can't, we can go ahead and move the dash ones and the dash fours, but we have to wait till 1:45.
Do you want to move the other bill first?
No? Well, we can just go ahead.
Why don't we do them all at once?
Okay, would you rather do that? Okay.
A little less confusing.
Okay, so with that, we will be continuing 1549 at what, 1:45? 1:45 is when we can actually move anything. Okay. So with that, we'll keep that work session open and open a work session on Senate Bill 1547. So Cassie, bring us up to date on that.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1547 expands the list of qualified health professionals who can provide medical release of a student athlete suspected of having a concussion. The measure specifies requirements for qualified health professionals to obtain a certificate after completion of an online program and other requirements. This becomes operative January 1st, 2019, and declares an emergency effective on passage. We have a dash three amendment. The dash three amendment removes civil and criminal immunities for a school district board, or employee of a school district, and restores current immunity from civil and criminal liabilities related to a head injury for a coach or referee. The dash three amendment also specifies that immunities for an OHSU board member, officer, or employee do not apply to an act or omission that amounts to gross negligence or was providing health care as a health care professional when they committed the act or omission. The fiscal on this is indeterminate and the revenue is no impact.
So there are some people that like the bill as is, and there are some people that want the amendment, but all of us agree that we have to take this bill to the floor. So basically, with the dash threes, there were a number of people that felt that school districts should have the skin in the game when it comes to safety of the student being returned to play. And there is concern by some that the school districts don't want to have that. If there is a provider who issues a return to play, that the school district doesn't want to be held liable if that decision was wrong. So what, but I think that it's extremely important for everyone to know that a school district does not have to accept a certificate to return to play from a particular provider. And so I do want to make that clear. Each school district, this isn't mandating them to allow physical therapists, chiropractors, naturopathic physicians to allow students to return to play after they've had a concussion. It only allows those school districts that do want to have those providers return kids to play. And there are many parents who do have relationships with certain providers and trust that relationship with certain providers to return a student to play. So I would like to open it up for discussion on where you're at on the dash three amendments.
Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Could you summarize again the difference between the dash threes and the
original bill?
And
the original bill. Yeah. So the original bill actually provides immunity to the school districts.
Right.
And the base bill also inadvertently provided immunity to physicians at OHSU who would be returning kids to play. And so what the amendment does, it takes away that immunity so that school districts still have skin in the game. You have to realize gross negligence, there's no holds barred. Everybody is, if there's gross negligence, school districts are held liable. But if it's just negligence, and this is where I need attorneys to talk to me about that, it would be harder to prove.
So mm-hmm. If I may, Senator Steiner Hayward had raised the issue about making sure that, I guess a couple of cases, OSHU in enacting the credentialing, I'll call it that, was protected. Did we maintain that in the existing
yes.
bill
yes.
without the amendment?
That's still maintained.
Okay.
And with the amendment.
Good.
Yeah, so the amendment addresses the concerns that Senator Montes Anderson has raised and points out the importance of school districts, schools, coaches, casting a careful eye on the child as well as the piece of paper, right, to make sure that the kid's safe to return. It also addresses the concern that I raised in committee on Monday that if we put this protection in for this and don't put it in for some other things, then in theory that could increase liability in some other areas. but it does maintain, and it clarifies the distinction between when one is acting as a medical professional and when one is acting as an employee of a school district or other institution like OHSU. So I think it maintains all the core pieces of the intent of the bill to expand the kinds of providers who are able to participate in this, makes it clear that everybody has responsibility to do what's in the best interest of the child, and then protects the people who are preparing the curriculum.
And you were also had brought up at the last meeting the unintended consequences of leaving the base bill when it comes to school physicals.
Right. So I spoke with Mr. Kraki again after the committee, and then I spoke with DOJ yesterday about this issue, and they both agreed that that was actually a legitimate concern, that if we put this liability protection language in, this immunity language in around concussions, and didn't put it in around school physicals or other places where schools accept input from outside experts on kids without further work on their own part, that we could actually be opening them up to liability in that regard. And everybody who I talk to, all the lawyers I talk to, I recognize that OSBA still has a different opinion about that, but I'm going with DOJ on this one. So.
Yes, Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a general comment. If I understand the comments that were made by school boards the other day, their concern is that by not adding this language, that insurers would raise the rates, or told them they would raise the rates because they were believing it was an expansion of liability. I think there are two things that they could do about that. One is, I actually think they're extensively covered now on the existing tort cap for public entities. There's a limit on how far it can go unless it's gross negligence, which this doesn't do anything about that either. The other piece is that I think it's certainly within a school district's prerogative, if they choose to negotiate a contract with an addenda to a standard insurance policy, it's fairly common to do, to be very specific and say that they will only allow return to play if it's cleared by a physician or whomever. They could choose to do that and limit the liability in that way. I recognize that it probably may take an additional step on their part, but that's not unusual in insurance discussions. I've done that with agencies I've represented before. So I'm not overly concerned with taking it out. I think leaving it in and taking it out probably doesn't really change the picture very much for a school board, other than maybe they have to have a harder talk with their insurance carrier about that.
Yeah, I'm good. Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated February 13th, 2018.
Senator Steiner Hayward moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated 2/13/18. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Senator DeVore.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually don't like the amendment, and I like the added language, but we're taking the bill back to what is currently the law. And my recommendation to school districts is, do not let a school employee do the return to play.
That's probably a good idea.
And I think that covers the whole thing. And I think there's some issue, too, that a school employee is probably associated with the student. And to send that back, I like the idea of expanding it to the larger group, which gives more parental choice.
Mm-hmm.
It probably will lessen the cost and ease of getting to somebody. And I recognize that chiropractors are trained. I also hope that Oregon Health Science University will allow other people, if they choose, to create a class that works. There's currently an 11.5-hour class that costs $200 that's been there for a long time that a lot of the chiropractors use. So, you know, I would have added language saying or other place, but I'm sure the OHSU is not a monopoly on this. And so I'll support the bill. I probably won't support the amendment.
And I've talked to OHSU about this because we want it to be a sustainable program. And so this may be something that we will be looking at in the 2019, but it isn't necessarily needs to be addressed in this particular bill. Okay? All right, any further discussion on the amendment? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Meyer?
Yes.
Senator Cano?
Yes.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Vice Chair DeBoer?
No.
Chair Monis Anderson?
Aye. Amendment adopted.
Chair Monis Anderson, I move Senate Bill 1547 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Steiner Hayward moves Senate Bill 1547 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? All right, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Meyer?
Aye.
Senator Cano?
Yes.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Vice Chair DeBoer?
Aye.
Chair Monis Anderson?
Aye. Motion carries, and I will carry the bill. Is there anyone that wants to co-carry it?
One's fine.
All right. I will.
All yours, Madam Chair.
It's all mine. It's all mine.
If you want me to speak on it, we can have that conversation offline, but I do not choose to co-carry this bill.
Okay, so I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1547, and we have colleagues approximately 13 minutes before we can address Senate Bill 1549. So we are at ease?
At ease.
At ease.
That's the word.
All right, we will continue the Healthcare Committee. We are in work session for Senate Bill 1549, and because we don't have the fiscal and revenue statement on the dash sixes, we're going to have to suspend the rules. So, Senator DeBoer.
Chair Monis Anderson, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1549 as amended without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time.
And just to note, it's just the dash sixes that we don't have the FIS-RES on. All right. Senator DeBoer moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1549 as amended without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand. Those are the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1549 without having the fiscal and revenue impact statements will say aye.
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 Is there any opposition? Okay, motion carries. So we are in work session, and do you want to start with the first one, Senator DeBoer, and then I'll have Cassie go over what each one is.
Chair Monis Anderson, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated 2/1/18.
Okay, Senator DeBoer moves to adopt the dash one amendments dated 2/1/18. Cassie, please remind us what that amendment is.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the dash one amendment creates new provisions allowing Department of Consumer and Business Services to approve a filing for a health benefit plan that qualifies for a health savings account distribution and is subject to a prohibition of applying a deductible under specified conditions. This would apply to health benefit plans issued or renewed on or after January 1st, 2019. The fiscal on this is indeterminate and the revenue is no impact.
Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? The dash ones are adopted.
Chair Monis Anderson, I move to adopt the dash four amendments dated 2/7/18.
Senator DeBoer moves to adopt the dash four amendments dated 2/7/18. Cassie, can you remind us what that one is?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the dash four amendments allow Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority to continue Medicaid for a person admitted to a state hospital. Mm-hmm. The amendment allows a person whose Medicaid or medical assistance is terminated while admitted to a state hospital to apply for medical assistance 120 days prior to their expected release date. The fiscal impact on this amendment is indeterminate and the revenue impact is no impact.
All right, is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Amendment dash fours are adopted.
Chair Monis Anderson, I move to adopt the dash six amendments dated 2/14/18.
Senator DeBoer moves to adopt the dash six amendments dated 2/14/18. Cassie?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the dash six amendments create new provisions related to balance billing, and DCBS explained all of those provisions to us earlier in the committee hearing.
That's right. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Chair Monis-Anderson, I move to move Senate Bill 1549 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator DeBoer moves Senate Bill 1549 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Knope?
Aye.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Vice Chair DeBoer?
Aye.
Chair Monis-Anderson?
Aye. Motion carries, and does anyone want to carry it? I will, if no one else does.
I'll take it if you want me to, but I'm happy to have you two, too. It's up to you.
I'll go ahead and carry the bill, because it's probably the only other one I'm going to carry. So with that, I'll carry the bill, and we close the work session on Senate Bill 1549. And at this point in time, do we have any Senate House bills assigned to our committee yet?
Madam Chair, we have two House bills currently. We have House Bill for it deals with organ transplants. I'd have to look up the number, and we also have House Joint Resolution 203 that was referred to our committee today.
Okay, so we will probably have both of those heard on Monday. All right, with that, we're adjourned.